Hey there, hi there, ho there. It is the Crowcast. I am Karell and happy Monday, June 7th. So very glad you are joining me. All right, you know, there's been these catchphrases for the day, really. Like each time I do a show, sorry, I got to move a little bit. Each time I do a show, I have a catchphrase or something that day has struck me that I just can't. And today, my catchphrase really is what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I don't just mean like, what are you going to do? What action are you going to take? But like, there are some situations where you're just like, what are you going to do? You know, you're sort of bewildered. You know, what are you going to do? I hate to start the week that way as we're all thinking about what we're supposed to do this week. But I saw a number over the weekend, which I knew the number, or basically roughly knew the number. But when you see it in print, you see, here's the problem. I happen to be a person that cares about you, okay? I care about my friends, and I care about you. And today in America, 42% of Americans are obese, meaning a BMI of 30 or higher, okay? 9.8% are morbidly obese, meaning a BMI of 35 or higher. So that right there is basically 52% of America is either obese or morbidly obese. But it gets worse. Another 23% are of a BMI between 25 and 30, which puts them into the overweight category. Not obese, but overweight. When you add in that 20%+, you're looking at about 76% of Americans are overweight. Now, you know, I didn't have to tell you this. You see these moo-moos everywhere. I mean, I was one. I still am. I mean, I'm not a thin little rail. You know, you see these people everywhere, and they're getting bigger. And I want to make jokes about it, but it's not funny anymore. I saw a guy this morning who's, what is it called now? FUPAR, F-U-P-A-R, upper, it's your penis. They're calling it your FUPAR, in between your navel and your groin. There are people now, you know, there are PANIS nurses that have to be employed at hospitals whose job it is to hold that up for surgeons. Can you believe that? So anyway, you know, I saw this guy at the park this morning. He was enormous and he had one of those guts that just spilled over. And, you know, the PANIS is just down in front. And all I could feel was sad for him because it's got to be hard to move. It's got to be hard to be him. And, you know, it's not just that we're obese or we're overweight. We're getting bigger. Okay? We're not slowing down in any way. We're getting, and Charles is getting larger, for those of you that love the movie Airplane. So we're huge and we're getting bigger. And I want to blame a lot. Okay? But if I'm going to go back into why I was 310 pounds... then I'm not going to blame food. I'm not going to blame corporations. I'm not going to blame the industrial food complex. When thin people start preaching to the obese, they start giving them reasons why they're fat. Well, they're feeding you crap, and McDonald's is feeding you crap, and you know, your lifestyle is such where you work so much, you don't have time to cook, and you're not taught about eating in school, and you're not taught about this. There's a whole, yes, and all of that is true. It's all true. But the truth is, and this is what I have learned, so it's my truth. My truth is that for 55 years of my life, except as a, or no, even as a child, for 55 years of my life, I was heavy because in some ways I was unhappy. Okay? As a kid, we were poor, and that makes you unhappy. I never stayed in the same house or the same home for longer than a year tops, maybe, if that, up until I was like, what, 13 years old, 12 years old? So my first 12 years were spent moving and moving and moving and moving and never having stability. I was not exactly a happy child in many ways. Now, yes, I loved my parents and, you know, I was a fun kid and all that. But internally, I was always in fear that we weren't going to have a house. You know, I was always in fear that we weren't going to have food. And we took the food we could get because we were poor and it wasn't health food. One week after we got these donations from like some agency, all they gave was bologna and cheese and bread. And so like we did so much with bologna for that week. I can bologna for breakfast, bologna for lunch. So yeah, there was the availability of good food or lack thereof. And I could blame that. But the truth is, the real truth, I was unhappy. There were so many parts of my life that in which I was unhappy. And that manifested in my body. And for most of you, you know that that's a self-defeating cycle. You feel badly because you think you look badly. And so to get away from that pain, you actually do more of what it is that's making you feel badly. So for instance, I would medicate my pain about being fat with a cream pie. And you know who you are. Come on. I'm not alone here, obviously. And so I see this number as I smell my carrot cake cooking. Ugh. I made it from scratch and it's so damn good. I see this number and I think to myself, what are we going to do? They're all waiting for a pill, and there's one coming. They're all waiting for a pill to magically save our lives. Let's all take a pill and lose 10 to 12% of our body weight. Everyone's looking for an easy fix to an ever-growing problem. And so what do? Well, first, we have to treat two things, okay? Two solutions. First, we have to treat it like a national security problem. 75% of your population being overweight, that is so many problems waiting to happen. That's a health crisis waiting to happen, like COVID. Obesity leads to high blood pressure, diabetes, strokes, heart attacks. So this is like hospitals just filling up. Okay, that's the first thing, especially as people age. Second of all, so first we must treat obesity like an oil crisis or a water shortage or any other kind of national emergency, like an attack from a foreign government. We have to treat it like it's a crisis. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to tell Americans they're just too fat? Well, you can't. It won't work. But you can help them be healthier. And the first thing you have to do is find the source of our unhappiness. If 75% of Americans are obese, 75% of Americans are unhappy with parts of their life. I'm not saying they're unhappy people all in all, although a lot of them are, but there are parts of their life that they are unhappy and it is manifesting in their weight, in their eating habits or lack thereof. Now, maybe it's their insecurities. Maybe it's their lack of education. I don't know what's making Americans so unhappy. I only know what was making me so unhappy. Okay? I know that I was drugged. I was on a lot of opiates and other pills. And it wasn't until those cleared my system that I was able to see that I was dying and to say I don't want to die. Now, maybe we haven't equated obesity and death as strongly as we need to. Maybe that's part of it. Telling people, you're going to die from your fat. And they are. You are. If you are obese or morbidly obese, you are probably going to die from a condition that arises because of your weight. Or if you get a condition, you're not going to be able to beat it because of your weight and the other conditions that come with it. So first of all, we've got to treat this like a national emergency that is going to kill people, like a bomb waiting to go off at, you know, at a station somewhere. That's exactly what these numbers are. They are a bomb waiting to go off. And that bomb will explode in terms of deaths, just huge healthcare costs to take care of people who don't die, but have strokes, who have diabetes, who have, you know, all the other stuff that weight, excess weight causes. So there's this crisis about to happen. And we're not treating it with the urgency. That number is all we should be talking about, that almost 75% of Americans are overweight and that 52% of Americans are obese or morbidly obese. They're, so one out of two. And you know this, when you go out, if you're not obese or morbidly obese, even if you are, you notice there are huge people everywhere and they're not getting thinner. They're not getting the message. The stats prove this out. Weight loss is going, during the pandemic, on average, people gained 22 pounds at a time that they were supposed to be getting fit, at a time they were supposed to be worried about health, they actually gained 22 pounds. And given the stats, we ain't got that leeway, honey. You know, those numbers were done prior to the pandemic. I'd love to see, you know, what the obesity rate is now after the pandemic. And all the unhappiness that's going to be in the years ahead from the pandemic. People with the social anxiety, people that lost people. There's a lot of unhappiness ahead with this pandemic. People will turn to food for that. So yes, part of our problem of obesity is that we're not trained to eat right. We're not trained to cook. I did this today with my kitchen in the background on purpose. You know, we're not trained how to eat right, how to cook, and how to exercise right. We're not trained to do that. In high school and junior high, we're trained to exercise to a test. Every person in school is not made to learn to cook. No one takes a nutrition class, as far as I know. So we're really not trained to be human. We're not trained in the things it takes to make us human. What to eat, how to eat, when to eat. That's just not... Sorry for the noises on the Mac. I've reinstalled all the new systems and I have to go back in and tell mail to not make any noises when it delivers mail. Because right now it thinks it's really cute that it makes a noise when it delivers mail and it's not. So anyway, so we have, you know, again, this, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? You know, I don't know. If I could magically, you know, just magically, I would wish everybody would be healthy. You know, I wish everyone would like themselves enough to want to be healthy. And that's the real thing. If you like yourself, you know, if you really do like yourself, you like you, you really like you. If you do, then you're going to do everything you can to be as healthy as you can. But most Americans, they don't have that love of self. They have no sense of country and no love of self, really. Because in the way we live, I mean, it's not just our diet, but that's a number one indicator of the national depression that is going on. And that's really what we're talking about here. We've had a national depression going on for years, and thus we've gotten fatter and fatter and fatter and sicker and sicker and sicker. Why? Because of a national depression. The upper class are the only ones that are happy now, the 1%. Everyone else, it's hard. It is a struggle for you, for me, for everybody. Everything's a battle. Healthcare is a battle. Your job is a battle. Paying bills is a battle. Keeping up is a battle. Putting money away for retirement is a battle. It's all a freaking battle. It's not easy. Nothing is easy at all anymore. You know, nothing can be easy. Grocery shopping is not easy at all anymore. Nothing. Nothing is easy at all anymore. Nothing's easy like a Sunday morning. Watching television isn't easy. There's 35 different apps and you've got to, you know, what am I going to watch? Well, I don't know. I'm going to watch Netflix or HBO Plus or Disney, or I'm just going to watch over the air. And even over the air now, there's 124 channels. Am I going to watch Law & Order SVU all day, or should I watch old TV shows? Should I mean, nothing is easy. except me. But outside of that, nothing is easy. And it's reflected in this national depression that we have, in this, God, this, you know, sulking and eating bad foods and not exercising and letting corporations and politicians, you know, get away with things and no repercussion. We are depressed. We are in a mood, child. We are. And it's not good. And so what are we going to do? This goes back to that. What are we going to do? How do we snap a nation out of depression? And not just economic, psychological. Look at it. We're fat. We're sick. We're lazy. We don't like our work environments. As the pandemic proved, we are not getting wealthier. It's harder now to buy a house than ever because you got to pay way too much for one. The American dream, people just see it slipping away every single day or just not obtainable. What are we going to do? Because I think we would all agree, right, that we have to do something. We can't not do anything. We have sat around and let each other slip into such depression that one out of two of us are obese or morbidly obese, and 7 out of 10 of us are overweight. And we haven't said anything about it to these people, to each other, to ourselves, to the mirror. We've just let it happen. And we act like it's okay when we see these enormous people on their carts in the Walmart or whatever. We act like that's acceptable and that's okay and that's normal. Being fat isn't acceptable or normal. Even as fat as I am right now, I need to lose 10, 15 pounds. I am eating too many bad things. It's not acceptable or normal to your body. And it's not acceptable to a nation. You know, you owe your country a little bit more than to be someone that's sick, dying. Because if you're obese or morbidly obese, you're dying. You're going to get fatty liver disease. You're going to get Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. You're going to get so many different things. Diabetes. You might lose a foot or an arm. You might need a heart surgery where they go in and blast out your arteries. You're going to need testing. It's all money, money, money. And why? Because you're unhappy. You're unhappy and you're medicating it with food, bad food. And you've given up. 2/3 of America being, or 3/4 of America being overweight means 3/4 of America has given up. They're just giving up. I don't want to worry about my weight anymore. You know what? I'm going to bring whatever damn body I got to the beach. See what I'm saying? They're giving up. Just really giving up. And we're letting it happen. We're letting them give up. Well, you don't want to fat shame them. No, I don't want to fat shame them. I want to find out why they're so depressed that this is the outcome. Why is being an American so bad that it makes us fat and sick and dying? I'd love to hear your comments on that. Why as a nation are we in this fat, sick, and dying depression that we're in? And we are. Is it money? Is it the instability of our lives, that they all dangle by the thread that the rich want us to? Well, you know, what is it? What are we going to do? But that number, I've been thinking about that number for 2 days. 70%+ are overweight and 52% are obese or morbidly obese. I just can't. We are on the wrong path, honey. We are on the path to hell. Politically, sociologically, and emotionally, it would appear. So what are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do about Joe Manchin? We elected Joe Biden president, not Joe Manchin. And yet this guy's acting like he owns the Democratic agenda, because he kind of does. We can't even get a majority to end the filibuster without him. This guy is acting like he is God and we're letting him do it. I don't understand that. I don't get it. All right. Well, on a brighter note, I have a weekend plans that's coming up. I'll be in Long Beach, California, and we're actually going to dinner with 12 inoculated people. There'll be 2 tables of 6, okay? But that's, you know, 12 people, but 2 tables of 6. Everybody's inoculated, and we're going to dinner. I'm going to be at the Hotel Maya, and you know, greeting friends all weekend, seeing doctors on Monday. There will be no show next Monday, by the way. I'm in Long Beach. I'm seeing doctors. I'll tell you all about it on Tuesday when I get home. But yeah. All right. So anything fun in the news? Well, movie wise, you know, did you ever discover a show that everybody raved about for years and you just never watched? And then you watched it and went, wow, it really is a good show. And then you were happy because there are a lot of seasons already, you know, or it might have even run its course by the time you discovered it. I just discovered Ozark. Okay. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And you see, in Ozark, they bring up a very valid point that the average American cannot work his way into wealth anymore legally. It really can't be done. Legally, you cannot work your way into wealth. Financial security, maybe. But wealth? Like millions of, no, you can't do it. Very few people can. And so, of course, in the movie or the show, they turn to illegal methods because that's where all the money is. And the fact is that millionaires today in our society use legal methods that should be illegal. They're as bad as what we call illegal methods of making money. But we allow them under the name of tax credits or sheltering or shell corporations or whatever. You know, this last week they want to make a global tax rate to try to start reining in these corporations that are just making billions and aren't paying anything. That should be illegal. It's not. And so on the show, which, by the way, no one's living a good life on the show, even though they got lots of money flowing through everywhere. You know, but it's a great show. So I've discovered it. And there's three seasons and a fourth coming. So by the time the fourth gets here, I'll be caught up with the three. And it's great. How many of you have done that? How many of you have found a show that everyone else had raved about, but you didn't? Like, I have yet to watch the last season of The Good Fight. And all of my friends that watched it said, oh my God, you're going to love that season. But I've yet to watch that season of The Good Fight. And I know if I sit down to watch that season of The Good Fight that I will love it. I don't. Why do we do that to ourselves? We all know that there's things we do that if we did it, we'd like it. But then we just don't ever do it. Oh no, I'll get around. I'll watch it later. Well, anyway, Ozark is what I'm watching right now. And I like it quite a bit. And so I'm glad I'm in season two already. Went through one season in 3 days. I don't know that that's good for television or movies that we can do that. I know it's the way now. The genie's out of the bottle. But I don't, you know, I think it makes consuming too many too easy. You know, we used to have memorable television shows and memorable movies because they had time to sink into our memories. Now, even podcasts, radio shows, we used to remember, oh, did you hear that show yesterday? Now there's so many that you consume that none are really memorable. Oh, you remember them for a minute. You might talk to someone about it. And then a week from then, it's gone. You know, last night I watched Funny Girl with Steve because I'm gay. And because I needed a Barbara fix. It's funny that now that I look at that movie at 58 years old, I realize the entire shtick of that movie is that she's ugly. That's the whole shtick of that movie. There's even a song. If a girl isn't pretty like the Miss Atlantic City, all she gets from life is pity and a pat. Kindly name a star who hasn't won a contest or a pageant. If they haven't, they just never get to bat. Isn't that weird? We have that same ideal today, and yet 75% of us are fat. So we're not the ideal that we have in our mind of what an ideal human should look like. Isn't that interesting? So I watched Barbara last night in that star-making role of Funny Girl. And if you haven't seen Funny Girl, for the love of God, go watch it. It's this star-making vehicle. It's this immense burning talent at 26 years old just bursting out, you know, everywhere in the movie. And I watched it. And I was crying, and Steve said, why are you crying? And I said, you don't understand this movie. And I saw Funny Girl after I saw A Star Is Born. I said, you don't get it. A Star Is Born, this movie, this helped shape me. It helped make me who I am. I saw this movie about Fanny Bryce, an outsider in the Ziegfeld Follies, because she wasn't a beautiful Ziegfeld girl. But then she used her comedy and her own rules to become this icon, played by a woman who would go on to do the exact same thing. And as a young gay boy sitting there watching it at 15, 16 years old, or actually probably watching it on television at that point or on VHS, it resonated. You know, it made me feel that, you know, because when she sings, I'm the greatest star, but no one knows it. Every entertainer has felt like that when they've been rejected. And so it reminded me. So I asked all my friends, I asked Daniel, I asked Steve, Barbara is definitely one of the people that helped make me me. She is one of the careers that I looked at and said, I want that type of career. I want to be that creative. I want to use all the talents I have inside of me all the time. Because that's what she did. She acted, she sang, she directed, she wrote, you know, all these things. I wanted to do that, and subsequently I have in many ways. But that was one of my people, Barbra Streisand. That was one of the people that made me want to be in the arts and be in it. I mean, I already knew I had to be, all of that in fifth grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, long before I saw Barbra. But then in 1978, when I was 16 and I saw A Star Is Born, and I saw the movie Fame with Irene Cara in high school, I knew I had to be a part of that world, that I had to do it. So I want to ask you, what or who was it that made you see? Because this will go into the obesity topic, believe it or not. We have to start being happier. We have to start being more content with ourselves so we can start taking better care of ourselves. So let's remember who we were. Who were you? Who was it that made you say, I can be a lawyer? Was it your parents? Was it a relative? Was it someone on TV, Perry Mason? Who was it in your world that lit the spark in you for whatever it was that you did or do? Whatever career, and I'm not talking job, I'm talking career, the thing you love to do. Even if it's not a career, there's something we all love to do that we would spend all day doing. For me, it's entertaining. For you, who was it that lit that spark in you, and what was it for? I'd love to hear your comments. contact@reallycorell.com, or down below here on YouTube or wherever you're listening to. This keeps falling out. You keep seeing me touch this because this USB cable keeps falling out. And I apologize. I didn't know it was going to do that during the show. So who was it? Who's your Barbra Streisand? I had others, obviously. Bette Midler. I'm very Bette Midler. Barbra made me want to be this wonderful, classy entertainer, and Bette Midler made me want to be a foul-mouthed, vulgar stage performer. Well, who was it that helped shape and mold you and lit that spark about something in you? Who was it? And what was it for? For me, it was entertaining, no doubt about it. What was it for you? You know, photography. I wanted to be Harrell, Skrzypniewski, Avedon, Francesco Scavullo. And I've taken photos that have been compared to theirs because they were the people, when I saw their photos, I thought, I want to take pictures like this. This is what I see in my head already. I want to, you know. So I'm asking you, who was it and what was it? contact@reallycorell.com or down below in the comments. And of course, right here across the bottom, patreon.com/Corell. I love each of you Patreon patrons. Thank you so much for every month giving me $5 or 10 or 15. Thank you so very much. I am Corell. You be who you want to be, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Today is Monday. We'll be back Wednesday and Friday. Oh, do you hear that? That's the Corell alarm. That says it's time for me. That really is. I set a Corell alarm so I didn't go too long today. All my computer is new again because I had to reinstall the system on my MacBook Pro. So RH Timer hasn't had the volume turned off on it yet because I wasn't able to do that. All right, I'll see you all on Wednesday and Friday. And then a week from today, I will be off because I will be in Long Beach traveling, okay? But I'll bring you all of the traveling and interviews and things I'm doing down there. So don't worry, you'll get all the content next week. But we'll be back on Wednesday, so don't go anywhere.